play. Yeah.
Kane is in the building. Nigga.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the President's Cup, the 2019 edition of the President's Cup. Nice having a little bit of time off. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Always Press DFS and in all of your listening locations. If you give a rating or review, we'd really appreciate it. I'm on Twitter at BD Intric and my co-host, as always, to help break down this President's Cup because we have DraftKings captain action. You can find him on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, my friend?
Doing well, dude. A little bit salty that you didn't, you know, introduce me as the guy who actually brought Captain's Mode to DraftKings via tweets that
yes,
DraftKings didn't see but just knew about.
How crazy was it? Like, after you led the charge last week, along with many others.
I wouldn't say I led the charge, but people
you
have
were
been
one of the vocal,
for this for years.
You're one of the major voices with others. They were saying, like, hey, the hero would be a great time to use captain mode. And then, like, what, maybe the second round of the hero? Here we go. We got it.
Yeah.
How hard was this, people? And it'd be a lot more fun if we knew guys were playing all four rounds, like the hero, than the guessing game we're about to take part in for the President's Cup.
Right. Well, you know, the one thing about, like, you know, I've played just about, I think I've played every golf tournament for the last, on DraftKings for the last maybe 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, take that as you will and say whatever you want to about me. But I did not play. I had just had zero interest in playing the hero again, 18 man deal, you know, no cut. It's just it's a crapshoot, you know?
Yep.
And, it would have been a whole lot more interesting with captain mode. And so DraftKings bringing it in this week is going to make the President's Cup much more interesting. The problem is, of course, you know, they bring it out the year that it's in fucking Australia where, you know, it's a 24-hour time difference or whatever, you know. I mean,
they're still catering around the U.S. They're doing it so we get it in prime time. The final round will be after Sunday night football or something.
Will it really?
Yeah, they changed the schedule around, so it's basically going to be prime time for us. Okay. From what I was told.
So they'll be like starting at like at dawn there,
like,
I guess?
I think they're starting basically at sunup, so at least you on the East Coast, it'll be prime time for you. It'll probably be just fine for me. That's the way I read it from somewhere else. They're catering it to the overall golf experience.
Let's see what time is it right there right now. So it's 11:03 a.m. currently in Australia,
so
in Melbourne, Australia.
So if they tee off, say, about noon,
so it's
that would be 8 o'clock your time, 5 o'clock my time. That's prime time. I guess when they do – well, that makes sense for the final rounds. I guess when they do the two rounds a day, they might do it a little differently.
They're going to have to.
Yeah, but, there's no way around it. But for the final round, just the singles matches, they could probably start them right about now and get them all in.
Well, you could start them earlier since it's, you know, it's summertime in Australia too. That's the other thing. So days are longer. So, I mean, even if you start the matches, you know, at dawn, which let's just say sunrise is at 7 o'clock in the morning, that's, you know, 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. This might work out better than I thought.
Yep.
I was fully expecting not to be able to watch much of anything.
Now, yeah, because like when you put it into like the British Open, now you got that extra 7 hours where it just screws the whole thing up. So now you're working on my sleep time. But this is going to right in the wheelhouse because, you know, the afternoon NFL slate's always garbage. And then you got probably some boring, you know, flexed in football game. We got golf. Beautiful.
Yeah. All right. Well.
We got Pat Reed making his own proper lies in the sand. What do you think about that? You know, I'll give him. Okay, I have two thoughts on this, and I'll let you go. First off, when you let people walk through these bunkers all day, and you see the footprints going through there, I could see where the frustration and thought process would be like, "Hey, this is BS." At the second part, you know the rules, and what he did was blatant. He didn't just do it once; he did it twice. Like, it was very Captain Obvious type stuff. So he got the 2-stroke penalty. Some thought it should have been more. Some thought less. You know, whatever. It's the Hero World Challenge, for crying out loud. But I just thought it was funny that he had the nerve to do it twice. And just the nerve to do it at all. But that's Patty Reed. That's taco tits in a nutshell, folks. What do you think, Jesse?
Yeah. I mean, he got fucked on a lie. That's just, I mean, that's all there is to it. Like you said, he got his ball rolls into a, what is really a, like a deep footprint. But he knows better. He knows the rules of golf. And like you said, didn't he only did it once. He did it twice. I've heard, I saw people, some people trying to say, well, maybe he didn't know he did it. And that's worth it.
Give me a break.
You get into a bunker, you get into a bunker and then scoop some sand back and tell me if you don't feel it or not. I mean, especially like as connected as these guys are with their clubs, you know, this is like what they do all day, every day is hold golf clubs. So it's like an extension of themselves, really, if you think about it. And him to do it twice, I mean, you know, and then go into, you know, this whole fucking pity party thing about, you know, him not getting a raw deal. I don't buy it. Pat Reed's okay. I've never been a huge fan of him. But you know, it's, to me, it's just bullshit.
Yeah, it was, I don't like that he did it. I think it's kind of funny. Like, okay, penalize the guy. I think it's, you know, it, for people that made a big stink about Phil Mickelson grabbing his own putt at the Open a couple years ago, it's technically cheating also. So, you know, if you're going to get super mad, well, let's go all the way around here. I'd rather them do stuff like that in the bunker than, you know, let Bryson DeChambeau take 75 minutes to make a shot or J.B. Holmes. But then no one gets penalized there. But, yeah, he broke the rules. He got caught. I thought it was hilarious, just the balls to do it the way he did it multiple times like that. I got good hunch he's not going to do it again this weekend. But he's a man who likes to test his limits, and he definitely tested them there. But like I said, we've got match play formats. We've got team play formats. This is where Captain America thrives. So he's going to come over here, and I can't wait to see how high-owned he is because he's pretty darn cheap, all things considered. Let's talk some President's Cup. And it's going to be kind of fun. I'll let you start off with the past event history, or did you have something else to say?
Well, just before we get there, I just looked up the schedule of events here, and you said Sunday night, but this thing's actually going to end on Saturday night.
Even better. Even better. So we're about to interfere with the NFL.
It's going to be on Golf Channel, 6 p.m. to midnight Saturday night, and no college football. So this might be actually pretty legit. And then, so Friday, it'll be on 3 p.m. to 2 a.m. and then 2:30 p.m. No, so like, yeah, 3 p.m. to 2 a.m. Friday in the U.S. This is Central Standard Time. Oh, this is Eastern Standard Time, of course. 7 p.m. to midnight on Friday, or it's just Thursday, sorry. Oh, this is going to be, because currently over there right now, it's Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah. It's 11.
Because it starts on Wednesday for us. That's when DraftKings locks, on Wednesday. So it'll be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's a four-day event.
Yeah. So yes. So it locks in 48 hours. So
yes. Yes.
Or 43 hours from now.
Yeah, so it should be pretty good.
Noon on Wednesday? All right.
That's what I'm seeing, unless I'm blind as a bat, too.
I think you're right. I think we're right.
Yes, so
it's going to end in prime time on Saturday. So that's
the most important part.
Yeah, and then I wonder if we'll have like single round showdown, Captain.
See, that's what I'm wondering, because if you go on DraftKings right now, before we get into the whole President's Cup thing, and you go to like create your lineup, you hit golf, it has the cup round one, and when you click on it, it talks about it's for the entire thing. Guys might not play them all, but the fact they specify round one makes me wonder if we're going to get something, especially like you said, for the singles matches where all 12 guys from each team will compete. It gives us all 24 players in the pool. That could get fun.
Yeah.
Yep. It's going to be interesting. Going to be so very, very interesting.
It locks at Wednesday, 3 p.m. 3 p.m. Eastern time.
There you go. Okay.
Apparently.
So, yeah, going to be a fun one. Good going there. Why don't you go with some past event history?
Oh, God. So the President's Cup has been played every 2 years since 1994. And oddly enough, the first 2 years were played over in the U.S. at the Robert Trent Jones Golf Club in Virginia. And the United States won both of those events. The last time it was played at Royal Melbourne Golf Club there in obviously Australia, the international team won 20.5 to 11.5. And so that's kind of like like distant history. Last year or 2 years ago, the Liberty National Golf Club was the host here in the United States of America. U.S. won 11 or 19 to 11. It was in Korea in 2015, and the U.S. won 15.5 to 14.5. Merrifield Village in Ohio in 2013, and the U.S. was again champions 18.5 to 15.5. I mean, there was a tie back in 2013, and the international team won one in 1998. So,
yeah, the U.S. usually dominates this thing. Pretty much has the same.
Yeah, the U.S. is 10-1-1.
Yeah, it's pure domination. Like you said, it's the only victory they have is at Royal Melbourne. The U.S. won there once also. So they're like 1-1 in this environment. But it's been straight up pure domination. Talking about Royal Melbourne, there's two courses, the East and the West. The West is the more popular course, but for this tournament, they do a composite course for Dr. Alistair McKenzie. If you know that name, it's because he designed Augusta. He designed the West course, and then Alex Russell designed the East. They use it's almost like a 50-50 split. It's 12 holes from the west, 6 holes from the east. It's not quite 50-50, but it's a very interesting design when they do this. It's a par 71, 7,032 yards, according to their website's scorecard. And it's a very interesting course, typical to kind of the Euro fields that ruin it for the American teams. When, you know, they said we lost and they said why. It's reminded me a lot of the Ryder Cup talk from Paris, is you can't just bomb and gouge things here. There's only two par fives. There are 1, 2, 3 par threes. And then if you do your quick math, 3 plus 2 is 5. That leaves you with 13 par fours. So, and they're not super long. So there's a 373, then there's a 312 par four, but there's a 476. So it's all over the board. It's a links style course is what it kind of reminds people of. But it's pretty wide open, lots of undulations, but it's firm and fast and get really windy. If it gets windy, it gets nasty. Some really unique bunkering all over the course, especially around the greens, some fescue around the bunkers. It resembles your link style courses. And then the other thing is the greens can be, you know, 14 to 15 on a stem, which are fast. If it's not windy, they aren't too bad. If it gets windy, all the reports that I could find on the internet showed it to be very, very tricky. So the biggest thing that I noticed people saying is it's, you want to be very precise off the tee because the fairways are large. So hitting the fairways isn't complicated, but it's where you want to land in the fairway for your approach to the green so you can stick it on the green. Otherwise, there's not a lot of running it up on the green. You have to have the right angles in to get the birdie opportunities, as they'd say. And, you know, with the U.S. team likes to bomb and gouge it, the lack of par fives kind of makes it more of a birdie fest, and you got to hope that your putting's on, which is always fun with these bomb and gouge boys. But should be fun. It's going to be up and down because of the different formats. That's why the course is important, but not super important. Real quick, the format for this event, Thursday their time, so Wednesday our time, there will be 5 four-ball matches. That's an alternating shot format, 2 from the U.S., 2 from the international, alternating shot. Friday their time, Thursday our time, 5 foursome matches where all 4 guys play their ball out. It's basically best ball is the way we play it back in the U.S., and the top scorer wins that hole. And Saturday morning there, Friday morning for us, Saturday afternoon there, afternoon for us. The morning is only 4 four-ball matches or alternating shots. The afternoon's 4 foursome matches or best balls. So instead of 5 on the first 2 days, it's only 4 on Saturday. And then Sunday's all 12 singles rounds. So obviously, not everybody will play every day. You have to play at least 2 of the matches, and that can include your singles match, which everybody plays. I believe I read somewhere almost everybody plays at least 3, and then a handful will play all the matches. So be quite interesting. Do you have any thoughts on the course, on the format, anything like that, Jesse?
I don't. I mean, it'll be interesting to see this course. I bet it's firm and fast, and I bet these greens are just absolutely lightning.
Yeah, the West course, because like I said, it's a composite, so it's 12 from the West, 6 from the East. But the West course is the number one course in Australia, obviously. It's in the top 5 in the world for golf courses. Like, this place is bucket list type stuff. It's, you know, for guys that want to play Pebble at Augusta, if you're a world traveler, this is one of the courses you need to play, basically. So it's going to be really cool to see on TV, like you said, and the fact it's going to be on when we can watch it. I'm pretty stoked on that. So, all right, we will talk about the golf. Do you want to talk golfers first, or do you want to talk strategy first?
What? It's up to you. You call it.
Well, let's talk golfers first, and it might give us more ideas as we talk it out for strategy.
Yep.
Like I said, 12 members from each team. The U.S. team is JT, Xander, Dustin, Woods, Cantlay, Taco Tits, Webb, Ricky, Woodland, Bryson, Finau, Cooch on the I always want to say Euro, but it's not. It's the international team. Adam Scott, Hideki, Usti, Leishman, Cam Smith, Sungjae Im, Anser, Binion, Neiman, Hao Tong Li, Adam Hadwin, and CT Pan. When you look at DraftKings pricing, the international team is quite cheap, as you'd expect. So it'll be real interesting, but there's the captain, which gets you 1.5x points, and then there's the regular pricing. We'll go by regular pricing, and then we can talk captains at the end. There's two guys over 10K. There's Justin Thomas and Xander Schauffele. Do you see yourself going all the way up to these guys?
I think you got to get some JT. Guy's just playing really well right now, and I think he'll play a lot of matches this week. I've already seen some talk about, you know, him, I think, playing with maybe Reed and Tiger as well. And then, you know, he's just played really lights out recently, really since August. His worst finish was the Zozo Championship, where he finished 17th. Other than that, you know, he finished 5th at the Hero, whatever. Won the CJ Cup, 4th in the Safeway, 3rd at the Tour Championship, won the BMW. So, guy's playing really well. He's first in this field in strokes gained total over the last 50 rounds. I mean, I think you have to have JT in there somewhere, in my opinion, because I think he's going to play a bunch, and he's playing really well.
Yeah, there's a lot to like about JT. JT is one of those guys that can hit it long, but he can also shorten his game, which I like a lot about him. He played in the previous President's Cup for his first event, went 3-1-1. He was the top player for the U.S. in the Ryder Cup on a very challenging course. You mentioned chances of him playing with Reed and Woods. If Tuesday's practice groups was Cantlay, Reed, Thomas, Woods, those four played together. Speculations are if you played in a group together, there's a good chance that the idea was to see how everybody played together. So Cantlay, Reed, Thomas, Woods played together. Bryson, Finau, Fowler, Schauffele, Johnson, Cooch, Simpson for the U.S. If you want to go on the Euro or international side, Leishman, Anser, on Matsuyama. You'd have to imagine Matsuyama and. That makes a lot of sense. Usti, Scott, Hadwin, Neiman, Smith, M, Lee, Pan. Lee and Pan, you'd imagine sticking them together as well. It's going to be interesting to see how it pairs up. Like the U.S., I can picture pairings pretty easily. International, you got to get some interesting feels there because there's a lot of, you know, maybe language or just overall different ways of play around the world can make things interesting. But I'm with you. JT, definitely a guy I want a piece of in this. And it's very easy to do. If you go to captains, he's 16,200. He's obviously a steep price tag, but he's a big-time scorer. And one thing to also mention, when they play the group events, both guys get the same score, basically, because it's a team format. So if people are thinking, well, you know, say JT got the birdie to win the hole, but he's playing with Reed and JT get the birdie. So that's right. That's how that one works out if you're playing at home for that and you want to get all that kind of scoring. All right, if you get in the $9,000 range, you got Adam Scott at 96, DJ's at 94 coming off his surgery. We haven't really seen him play anywhere. And then you got Hideki at 92. What are you liking in this 9K range?
I mean, I would definitely go with Hideki. He's third over the last 50 rounds in strokes gained total out of this bunch. His putter's a little bit sketch, but, you know, it's just one of those things where you can potentially mask that a little bit and doesn't hurt you as bad in match play than it does in stroke play, obviously. I mean, a hot putter can get you a long ways, and you know, if you're not putting very well, it can hurt. But his ball striking's, you know, so good. I kind of just throw that aside. So he's the guy for me in particular in this range, and I think he'll play a lot for the European team, especially if he starts off hot.
Matsuyama is a very good call here. He's they're going to rely with such youth on their team, and their youth is very, very good, obviously. They're going to rely on, I think, some of these, you know, veterans to at least play with them or kind of set the tone. And Matsuyama is a great one at 92 with that ball striking. It's going to be hard to not want to get some Adam Scott in there at $9,600. I know he can be tilting. The putter can be tilting. Which one's he using? But he knows this course. He's played here 5 or 6 times. He's won the Australian Masters here before. When you talk about course history, like we talked Ryder Cup last year in Paris, those guys, the Euro guys, knew what they were doing on that course. And, you know, you can blame the U.S. for not playing there more, sure. But, you know, those extra rounds Scott's played here and some of these other guys that we'll get to in a little bit, you can't – well, you can, but I'm not going to ignore them. I think there's going to be a lot to say in that scenario. So Scott is a good one. I'm just worried about how much he'll cost. You didn't mention DJ. I'm scared of DJ as well. But what's your thought? Because I doubt FanShare is going to have ownership this week. It's going to be kind of complicated. What's your thoughts on potentially getting a super low-owned DJ in this?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the $8, he's worth a captain spot and then fill in from there. And even just putting him on your team, just in the chance that, you know, we haven't seen him play since the Tour Championship. So he hasn't been out there since August. So he's had a 3-month layoff. Well, 2 months, really. 3 months. Yeah, September, October, November. Yeah. Anyways, 3-month layoff. We don't really know where his game's at. He was not playing well beforehand. Like you said, he had surgery. I don't think he's here unless he's completely healthy and ready to go. Might be some rust there potentially. Who knows? But, I mean, I would think that, you know, he would be whoever they pair him up with. I mean, I think there would be a formidable opponent no matter what, especially in like alternate shot. I'd love to play some alternate shot with Dustin Johnson.
All day. That would be freaking amazing. He was with he practiced with Kuchar, Simpson, and Woodland. A lot of speculation.
Oh, I bet him and Woodland.
It was either that or him and Kuch, because, you know, like Kuch and Webb are kind of your short approach guys. So you let Woodland and Ed Johnson. Like, can you imagine Woodland's – we can talk about a minute. Woodland's 3-wood stinger he hits that just rolls on this place. Yeah, that could be a beauty. So that's why I think they're saying their idea was Johnson and Kuch. But Johnson and Woodland would be good too. They both kind of young swagger. I could see that. And he kind of let the calm and collected Simpson and Kuchar kind of do their thing. So it's a weird puzzle. We talk about for all these different formats of, you know, you got the most talented guys, but how do you make it work together? And because golf's such an individual game, but for once it's not. It's really weird.
It's also like, you know, I was thinking of this on my drive back from Kroger earlier, and it's golf is a game where literally if you put, you know, the best on Justin Thomas against the worst here, CT Pan, on any given day, CT Pan could go out and beat him.
Exactly.
And it's much different in that aspect than, you know, for example, NFL, where the lowest price guy is $200 and he literally may not even see the field at all throughout the whole entire game. So, you know, you can almost throw out all those guys, whereas literally every single guy in here has some merit at some point because it's golf and anything can happen.
Yeah, and like I said, they'll probably play at least 3 events, so that's good. Maybe they win all 3 of those. That's tremendous. And if somehow they sneak into 4 or 5 because the captains really like them, we don't know about it, like that could be game-changing. So it's one of those things is we're going to get you kind of the basis on who we like and why. But watch the news the next day or two, because you'll see a lot of guys paired together and practicing, and guys will be – they might say certain things. And when that night before it starts, when at least the first days or the first events pairings come out, give you a good idea on who you need to be jumping on. 8K range, you got Usti at 88, Tiger at 84, and Cantlay at 82. Cantlay coming off a rather rough hero, but it's the hero after all. I don't know about you, Jesse. This range doesn't really appetite me at all because everyone's going to flock to Tiger. I get it. But otherwise, I'm not really in love with this range. What's your thoughts on the 8K range?
I mean, I do like Cantlay. I know he's coming off a bad showing there at the Hero, but, I mean, he was second at the Shriners 2 months before that. And, you know, he's played some very solid golf, and he's got a really, really good putter. And he can play slower than shit. Could get in some people's heads. I actually like Cantlay in this format. I know he's kind of green as far as it goes.
First timer.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a bit sketch, and that might limit how much he actually plays, but you're not going to get a lineup where all 6 of your guys play all 6 or 5 matches or however many matches. They're not going to play every single match. I mean, you're going to have somebody who sits. And I kind of like Cantlay as that kind of sneaky low on play. Like you said, Tiger is going to be very popular. I already read something earlier today where he may play three matches.
Yeah, I think it'll be like the Ryder Cup where he doesn't play a lot because, A, he's got a coach, and, B, he just can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he might play – he'll probably open it up. No, you're fine. He'll open it up. He'll probably play that first ads. I could see him sitting the second day. Obviously, he's going to play a match on the final day, so it just depends. But I you know he's not going to go back. He's not going to play 36.
No. Not a chance
on that day. So,
and it makes sense if you want to save him to put him in the alternating shot. It's just half as many shots, basically. Just let him rest up. But who knows?
100%. Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that. And so that means his partner, if it's Reed or Thomas or whoever, makes it real interesting. Really, really interesting. That's why, because you know he's not going to play a lot. I'd almost rather have him with like Cantlay or something. So go with a rookie, because when Tiger sets on the box, it just intimidates everybody there. So you already have the upper hand there to kind of lighten things up for the rook. Like at the Ryder Cup, I think Woods was with DeChambeau the whole time, and DeChambeau talked about how it just took so much pressure off of him having Tiger there. So I don't know. We'll see. Tiger knows what he's doing. I'm not doubting that at all. Now the 7K range, a range I like a lot, a range that should be rather popular. You got our boy Captain America Taco Tits, Patrick Reed at 7,800, who just dominates these events. Dominates him. You got Webb Simpson at 74. Then you got Ricky Fowler, who everyone loves. He took a long layoff, but then played pretty well at the Hero at 7,000. This is juicy here. You can make arguments for all three of these guys. Pretty solid arguments. Where are you standing?
I mean, it's hard not to play Patrick Reed, isn't it? I mean, the problem is he's going to be – they're going to be giving him shit. Australian fans are going to be all up in
his. He doesn't care, though.
I know he doesn't, but – I don't know how you don't put him out there for five matches either, but I don't know. Like I would take a probably little piece of him and Webb Simpson if you're playing multiple lineups. Webb, he's just got that cool, calm demeanor where he can kind of, and he's also got a really good short game and he hits it straight. So Webb would be, I think, a potential in there, but Pat, it's just hard to pass on him, man, especially at 78. It'd been really cool if they like priced him in the 8Ks with
a Tiger.
Like maybe bump up Cantlay at 83 and then put Reed at 82. But I think Reed and Tiger Woods will be two of the most popular on the whole entire slate.
100% agree. I think Reed will be extremely popular. I thought he'd be higher than this. I was a little surprised by this one. And this region's really interesting because if you want to go trying to figure out who's going to play a lot, so Reed's played two President's Cups. He's played in 9 of the 10 matches. Ricky Fowler's played two President's Cups. He's played in 8 of the 10 matches. Still, it gives you at least 4. That's what you're looking. If you can get 4 out of everybody, you're going to be doing pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
The kicker, Webb's played in two President's Cups. He's played in all 10 matches. So, and I'm not saying it's like you have no idea if it's going to happen again, but the fact he did and he can, and he's 5-3-2 in those 10, and he's going to probably be low owned as all get up in this region.
Yeah.
Something to think about. So that could be one of those low owned plays that lets you eat the chalk somewhere else because he just goes and smashes. Like one or two low owned plays this week, if they go off, will help you more than ever. So keep that in mind. When you go into the 6K range, now you got Gary Woodland at 66, Leishman at 62, Cam Smith at 6K. So you got two of the locals in the venue here. Fun 6K range. Which ones stand out to you?
I mean, it's hard not to play Woodland too. Did he play in the last President's Cup, or did he just play in the
looking him up? He's a rookie. He just played in the Ryder. Rookie at the Presidents.
Because he's playing very well right now, obviously. But then you got also too, like you said, the two local guys. I mean, Leishman and Cam Smith, they may not be lighting the world on fire as far as how they've been playing recently, but this means this means a shit ton to those two guys.
Yep.
Home soil. They haven't won this event in forever. And if it gets windy, give me all of the Leishman.
Yep.
Because the dude knows how to play the wind.
Yeah, we saw that. What was it? Was it CJ Cup 2 years ago or one of those? He was just so windy, he's just piping it all over the freaking place. It was ridiculous. But yeah, he's a local. He's played here a lot. And then Cam Smith is a local as well. He won the 2017 and 2018 Australian PGA Championship. And then also at a nearby course, him and Leishman was the World Cup partnership. They finished T2 in 2018. So when it comes to playing these local courses, they know them well. I think Cam Smith's a fun one. We've talked about him a lot throughout the year. The talent is there, just the consistency is not. Hopefully the stage isn't too much, but for 6K, for the upside of him, I think Ernie Els is going to ride that local feel with him out there, because you want that crowd on your side. You want these guys on the course in a sure. big way. So it'd be really smart of Els to have them out there one way or another in these matches. Leishman's already out there. I saw videos today doing a lot of, you know, publicity and part of the meetings, and it's not just the captain's. Leish is out there doing a lot of it. I think it's a very good range. I like Cam Smith a lot. I think ownership wise and just upside, because I think people will flock to Leishman with the local angle. Everyone wants the U.S. players, so Woodland will be very popular. I get it. I totally get it. But Cam Smith is 6K. He's got that kind of GPP upside to me that you're going to want for this. And also, don't play cash this week. Just throwing that out there right now. Do not play cash for this event. Please, God. I'll send you to another podcast if you want to do that, because haters going to hate. But 5K range, you got DeChambeau at 58, Sungjae at 56, Finau 54, Cooch 52, Answer 5,000. This is where you're going to start getting this 5 and 4K range, which sounds weird to say for golf to begin with. But this is where a lot of people are going to flock to get the boys up top, to get the high captains. Who do you like in the 5K range?
I mean, Sungjae's a rookie, right?
Yes, obviously. He is.
I love Sungjae. I mean, the dude only plays 1,000 rounds a year. Yep. So him to go out and play every single match this next week would not surprise me a bit. And he's very consistent with his game. He's in this field. He's fourth in strokes gained total over the last 50 rounds and first in strokes gained putting. I'll take plenty of Sungjae. I could see him playing a lot this week, especially if he starts well. He's got the putter going. I think he's a very interesting player. Even though he's a rookie, I get that. But he fucking faces down these guys week in and week out just about on the PGA Tour, right?
Hasn't phased him at all.
Right. I mean, he played every single event last year. So, you know, he played every person in this, you know, or close to it, probably played in a group in front of or behind or with, you know, all these guys mm-hmm. throughout the year since he played every event twice. So Sungjae's the guy in particular in this group that I like. Kuchar, I think, is interesting too.
Yes.
I mean, you could give some merit to Finau. Answer, I'd be interested to see how much he plays as well. I mean, it's a similar type of situation with him where he, you know, none of these guys are really going to be the intimidation factor is just not there. So let's just throw that out the window with all these guys, because they play against each other week in and week out, right?
Yes.
And so, I mean, I think you can give merit to all these guys, and you're going to have to dip down here and take some shots with some guys, because once you start building lineups, you'll see that you can't like just jam in all the top guys that you want to.
Yeah, especially with the captain pick, changed it all. Changed the game.
Thank God.
Yeah, it's going to be for the good. Yeah, Bryson, Sungjae, Finau, and Answer in this range are all rookies. I didn't say it earlier. The international team, 7 of their 12 players are rookies. That's why I wanted to harp on these veterans, like you said, Hideki and Scott. I think they're going to be out there a lot. They're going to play a lot of golf. But I love the Sungjae call. We're a pro Sungjae podcast. We love Sungjae M for the reasons you mentioned. I think it's a great play. I have no problem with Finau. We saw what he did at the Ryder Cup. We've seen him in match play formats. Very, very skilled in that regard. So I don't mind him at 54. I'd rather Sungjae or I'd rather Kuchar. Kuchar struggled here. I was looking it up. He was 1-3-1 when they played here in 2011. But then he returned in 2013 to the Aussie Masters and finished runner-up to Adam Scott. So he's played well on this course, even though his President's Cup record doesn't show it. And he's that guy that whatever the adversity is around him, Cooch ain't going to be phased. We've noticed that very clearly. Not caring. He'll just walk his Skechers down the fairway and not care. So Sungjae and Cooch will be the guys I'd be looking at in this range to kind of make yourself save some cash. Now, the big money makers, the big savers, Binion at 48, Neiman at 46, Hao Tong Li at 44, Adam Hadwin at 42, CT Pan at 4,000. Let me check on Adam Hadwin real quick so I can say my final piece here. Adam Hadwin is the only non-rookie in this range. He was 0-2-1 when he played here, or played in 2017. The rest of them are all rookies. What do you have down here?
Yeah, this is a tough region because it's all international guys. But these are going to be your lowest owned guys too.
Big time.
I could see Ben on playing a lot. The rest, I don't have as much faith in. Hadwin potentially, because he's played in the President's Cup in the past, right?
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. He played in 2017. He was 0-2-1.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, so he got you like 2 points. Because we didn't go over the scoring for this, but
we can go right after we finish up this range.
I don't know. I'm not a huge fan. I don't know what to do with this bunch down here. I'm going to try to kind of stay above it, but I think Bidion would probably be the pick if you're down here doing whatever. And you know, if you want to go super contrarian, we'll talk about here in a minute, but put Ben on as captain.
Yeah, I think Bidion's a sneaky one because we've seen him get close. He's kind of in that Sungjae Im mold where really good ball strikers, the putting can be there from time to time. He's one of those guys that I thought he should have been more expensive than this. I thought he should have been priced around Sungjae. That was just me. Maybe a little less, at least more than Answer. Like I thought he should have been at least in the 5K range. So he kind of stands out there. And yes, he was a last minute replacement for Jason Day, but he's one that stands out to me. The rest of these guys, anything can happen because it's golf, like you said. It's just I don't know if I want to put myself through that. When we talk the pricing real quick, I got it pulled up. So for those that don't remember, if you win a hole, you get 3 points. If you have a hole, you get 0.75 points. If you lose a hole, you get minus 0.75. Every hole that's not played, you get 1.6 points extra. If you win the match, you get 5 points. If you tie the match, you get 2 points. If you win three consecutive holes, you get 5 extra points. You can only get that one per round. If you didn't lose any hole at all in the entire round, you get 7.5 extra points. And like I was saying, if you're in a combo, if say, you know, if two guys matched up together, whatever the winning team gets, both those golfers get those points. Losing teams both get those points. You don't split them in half. So you just want guys to be out there playing golf. Did you have anything else on the scoring?
So on the holes not played, that has to be if you win the match, right?
Yes.
So
it doesn't specify, but it's got to be.
That's got to be because you can't. Yeah. You're not. If you lose the match, you're not still giving those points.
You shouldn't get a bonus for that. No.
No. It's interesting that they didn't put a negative. They didn't attach a negative to losing the match. No, for losing the match.
I'd say for either losing the match or holes left over, you should get a negative. But yeah. I guess they don't want to double bang you.
Yeah. Is this the same type of scoring that we've had in the past?
From what I was told, it's the same as like the WGC match play format.
Right, which is the only other match play that there has been on DraftKings. Okay.
So it's the same points format, except now also keep in mind, if you use the captain, it's 1.5x all of that.
Right. Right, so a whole one gets 4.5 points.
So say you play JT, and after his first match, he won 30 points. In reality, if he has your captain, you get 45 points.
Yeah.
So that's where the captain thing comes into play. Like, and it's fun because like you and I and others play NFL Showdown, and that's where you get the captain pick. So you have to you kind of play with fire because there's always the popular ones and not so popular ones. And it can get real interesting. Like you'll be watching the game, and that captain gets a touchdown, and all of a sudden you're cashing, and now you're like in last place.
So right.
Yeah. It moves the needle very quickly.
No, it's the key. I mean, it literally makes or breaks you in Showdown. Yeah. So there'll be some gigantic swings on this too. This will be very interesting and fun to kind of watch and see. How it goes.
I'm looking forward to it. Like, I'm not going to go super heavy. I'm going to do like a 3 max. Maybe I haven't even looked at what's available, like $3 3 max or something, just to kind of get a feel for the rosters. I'm not going to go like heavy price wise because I want to see how it plays out. But it definitely adds a new wrinkle to this. It's going to make it so much more fun to watch because you mentioned the hero. I didn't play the hero. I literally watched maybe 5 minutes of it on TV because I was in between doing something. I didn't even care about it. It was that
I didn't bad. Either. I mean, like literally did not interest me at all whatsoever.
No,
it's weird.
So what's your kind of strategy for this? How are you looking to approach it? You know what? I'm surprised. Maybe I didn't read it correctly. You know, when you play NFL, you have to take at least one guy from the other team. I don't think it specified that you have to take one international guy or one US. Like you can't take all from one team. I didn't see that anywhere.
Let's find out.
Because you would think they'd make you go, you know what? You can't just take all US. You got to take at least one in or vice versa.
Yeah, but that's only because you have to have. I see what you're saying now because I was thinking that was because you have to take from two games, but obviously it's just one game. So that might be the dumbest thing that I potentially could have ever said.
Don't worry, you record with me. I'll take care of that.
Right. So let's take this, see if we can submit this lineup here.
All right, got him. Give me some of him. I don't even know if it's possible. There it is. It's definitely possible. And it let me submit it. Yeah, so you can go a full onslaught, which makes it even more interesting.
So you can go full U.S. onslaught if you feel up to it, or if you want to think the international team wins and no one else will.
I mean, that is
an angle. That's an angle.
That's your contrarian play right there.
Like, if you just go full international, or, you know, do like Justin Thomas as your captain and then just go international everywhere else or something, or find the right international captain and then just do all U.S. everywhere else. Like, it's going to be real freaking interesting. Like, if we had to, let's kind of play with the lineups again. Captain-wise, who are you looking to captain?
So I want the guy, like, literally I'm trying to project who's going to play the most. I think that's going to be the most vital, the most important, is who's going to be out there the most. And obviously who has the best chance of winning. The U.S. is such a heavy favorite. It's hard not to captain somebody from the U.S. I mean, from what you talked about before, when we were talking about Webb and he played all 10 matches in the previous two President's Cups.
No one's going to own him.
If you captain him, he's 11,100. From my experience, though, it's really weird. From my experience playing a lot of showdown slates in football and that kind of thing, you don't really get the highest priced guy being captain. So JT at captain is another guy who I think is nice. I think he plays every match. Yeah. I don't know how many people will do that, because it's going to really, really limit everybody else that you can get, you know, into your lineup. So if you captain JT, that leaves you an average of 6,700 left. So you're gonna have to dip way down. You'd be able to go up a little bit, but yeah, I mean, that's what Webb right now, kind of somebody middle of the road is where I lean. That, but that's also the comfortable build. So that's probably where most people will go. I do think, you know, Reed will probably be a very popular captain's pick.
And don't be scared to leave money on the table.
We have to echo
that over and over, and do not be scared of that.
Yeah, because, I mean, the other thing here is we've got how many guys total?
Well, we got 24 total. But why you think real quick, here's one I just put together, and if people want to use these, go for it, because I don't even know if I'll use it. But if you do Webb and the captain, you can go JT, Reed, Cam Smith, Leishman, Fowler. It leaves you $1,100 on the table because there's no one left over after – Leishman. You can only go to Fowler's top price guy, but it leaves money on the table. I don't know. It's an option. It's an interesting look, but lots of ways to go, obviously.
Yeah. So, but like when you think like there's not as many dupes in showdown NFL, you will see them, obviously, especially if it's a very offensive game, then you'll see a lot of dupes towards the top. But it's not like, you know, in a 400,000 person tournament, there's not 2,000 or 3,000 dupes. There's going to be a lot of dupes in this because there's only 24 guys.
It's going to be a ton.
Yeah. I mean, there's only 24 to choose from.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard not to dupe 24.
On a football team, you got, you know, what, like at least probably 30 guys on each side of the ball that you can, or not 30, probably 24 guys on each side of the ball that you can pick from.
Yeah. Yeah. So you at least, and you got those $200 guys. There's a lot to pick through there.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like this one even better. This is going to be fun. Okay. Yeah. So captain wise, I'm thinking JT, Webb. What international guy would you potentially use
Sungjae for captain? Sungjae, I think, is super interesting as a pick, because I think he plays a lot. Or, I mean, you could look at somebody like Leishman.
Going back Lean to Jay Smith, Sungjae are the kind of guys I was looking at.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, if you think Leishman is going to play a bunch because it's his, you know, home country, or Cam, either one, I think that's a kind of a contrarian type of build. And you'll be able to get different doing that. Or if you, I mean, get super ballsy and go down to one of those 4K guys and, you know, say, hey, I think Hao Tong Lee is going to play a lot. Hao Tong Lee might be the least owned person, you know, player across the whole entire thing. So if he comes out and he goes 4-0-1, you know, you might be sitting pretty good.
Yeah, you can go Sungjae at captain and get JT, Adam Scott, Cam Smith, Leishman, all Aussie, and Patty Reed. There's just so many ways to go about it. Like, I'm not saying these are the right answers, but it gets real interesting out here when you're building these lineups. It's going to be crazy. Like you said, it's whatever captain comes through. It's going to be the wild card. And if this international team makes any noise, like if they even keep it within, like, say, 3 points or better, they're going to be huge on your roster. Huge.
For sure. Because
no one's going to own a lot of these guys. So, like, I think a nice way to look at it is when the pairings come out for the opening alternating shot, whatever the $4,000 guys are, if they're paired up with, say, a Leishman, a Scott, one of these expensive guys that might help you actually win a match or push a match, grab them. I think that's a great way to get value. That's just my two cents. So
I like it.
Yeah, we'll see. I know we kind of just blabbered on and on, but it's worth a think tank on how to build this because it's new to everybody. That was kind of our strategy to it. Do you have any final thoughts on this? Because I'm looking forward to just kind of messing around. Like, I just, while we were talking, I like built 3 or 4 lineups and kind of erased them and rebuilt, and so many interesting ways to go about it.
Yeah, I mean, what I would do now, like in the next 2 days leading up to 3 o'clock Eastern time on Wednesday, is just reserve and then digest as much info as you can from the media at the golf course. And then also the, you know, just the stuff that you see come out about who's gonna get paired together, how much people think in quotes, and just watch and see how much, you know, you can get as far as that goes. Because, you know, I can sit here and tell you all day long I like Justin Thomas, but that's not really, it's not going to help you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the way to really get an edge on this is to predict, to try to predict who's going to play the most matches.
Yep. Is to find out who Ernie Els and Tiger Woods' assistants are and find out where the sheet is of the potential pairings and find out that information. Yeah. Would be golden.
We only had somebody in Australia. That'd be nice.
If only we had someone in Australia, that would just be so nice. But it should be a fun one. And most importantly, throughout the week, join us in the Fantasy Sports DGen Slack chat. We'll be chatting it up in there. I know Dyer's already in there talking about stuff and some others. So we'll be there. It's cranked up for basketball and other sports. But come join us for PGA as the season gets going again. And last but not least, I should have opened up with this, and I probably will. The Junkies League is coming back for season 6.
Yeah,
coming up here. I believe it's 6. Starts at the Tournament of Champions. So that's at the beginning of January, I believe. The tweet was out there from Junkies, and tell them all about it.
So some major changes this year. We're going to go $100 for the full season. It's been $50 and then $3 every week, but instead of the $3 weekly, it's just going to be a free contest. Yes. So we're not going to worry about whether or not it fills, you know, if so-and-so doesn't get in there, it's just going to run every week. It's going to be free. So not going to have to worry about that. So the price is going up basically to $100, but it's $100 for the whole entire year. So it's just one set price. And then there's a lot of different ways to win. Obviously the season-long contest, which runs from the Tournament of Champions to the Tour Championship. It's your biggest payday. And then there's going to be 3 different segments that will pay out. And a big change this year too is we're not going to include the WGC events, in particular the match play event, in the overall standings. That's not to say it doesn't matter, because there will still be a four tournament segment for the WGC that does count just for those 4 tournaments. So then the winner of that gets 5% of the pot. So there's a tweet out about it on some fucking pen and paper, you know,
on Kevin's laptop.
God forbid, Kevin, you just type this into your phone, but he took a picture of his pen and paper with his Staples notepad. Very 1998 ish here. And basically, you know, there you go. So it's going to be different this year, but it'll still be fun. It's a good way to, you know, stay engaged for the whole entire year. And like I said, once you pay in the $100, it's just, we're going to run free contests for the rest of the year. So I'm not going to have to do the $3 deal. And so hopefully that'll get a few more people maybe in there. But I mean, if you're a grinder and you're out playing PGA every week anyways, you know, to me, this kind of thing is no brainer. I know there's some other contests out there in the space, but ours is basically just a bunch of dudes who, there's no rake in this, and it's just a bunch of dudes who like to, you know, talk shit to each other.
Pretty much. It's a blast. It was the original contest, for those that don't remember when it all started. It's a ton of fun. The more the merrier. Tell your friends. It's a fun way to just kind of learn PGA DFS and actually win some cash along the way. We chat it up all the time. We talk about it all the time. Jesse and Randy and company updated all the standings all the time. So it's a ton of fun, and I highly recommend playing it. We'll push it some more. We'll push it on the Twitter handle, our Twitter handles. If you have any questions, feel free to ask either of us, ask Kevin, ask Randy, anybody, and we'll help you out with that. But it is a ton of fun, so I highly recommend getting in there. I should have brought it up at the beginning, but that's a very, very important one. So go check that out and come join us for Junkies Season 6. Tons and tons of fun. But that's until right. next hey, time.
Yeah. Well, people have learned to not turn the podcast off until it's over with, because some of the best shit is at the end of our podcasts.
That is true. When we just get completely, just, you know, turn off everything on our own brains, and it gets real fun. It gets really fun. So this was an important one. But until next time, I don't know if we will be back until the Tournament of Champions. The break's been kind of nice. Like, I had big visions for us. The break's been kind of nice.
I'm not going to lie, dude. Especially yeah. for you, a man who does 1,000 podcasts a week. I don't blame you for taking a little time off, bud.
Yeah, I was like, it doesn't break my heart. Like, I love talking to Jesse, love talking golf, but Jesse and I do text all the time.
Yeah, we talk. Yeah.
So we'll talk anyways. But if you guys have any ideas, or if you want some strategy stuff we can put together for you, we'll more than do it. But right now, I think we might just take it easy till the Tournament of Champions. But if you have anything, let us know. Jesse's on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm Matt Bediantric. Join us in the Slack chat. It is free. Just ask for an invitation. Rating and review on iTunes would be much appreciated. But good luck. This is going to be a fun, fun week for the 2019 President's Cup on DraftKings. Catch you guys later. The show goes on, all night till the morning. We dream, no.